The second reading is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. And the reading can be found on page 1223 in the Pew Bibles or page 2147 in the large print version. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth and the home of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Before we study God's word together, let's just pause and pray that God might speak to us. Lord, your word tells us to number our days, to realize how fleeting our lives are. And so we ask that you would do that in our hearts and minds. Help us to think about these eternal matters, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen. Well, I wonder if you know about Larry Walters. Larry Walters had something happen to him on July the 2nd, 1982. He is a Californian. From an early age, Larry wanted to fly and join the Air Force. His eyesight wasn't good enough, so he ended up being a truck driver instead. In 1982, he came up with a scheme to satisfy that deep longing he had for flight. He purchased 45 weather balloons from an army surplus store. He tied them to a deck chair, having secured it to a post, the balloons and the chair. And then he strapped himself in. It was set free. And at last he thought, here's my chance to float 30 foot above the ground for a couple of hours. But actually, those balloons were filled with helium. And what happened was extraordinary, because once he sat in the deck chair, he had some sandwiches, he had some cans of beer, and he also had an air gun, a little air pellet gun. And he loosed himself off, and he went up very quickly. Not a lazy float to 30 foot. No, instead, he went up much higher. Things didn't turn out as planned. And in our lives, things may not turn out as planned, unless we think about the return of Christ. When the cord was cut, he streaked into the Los Angeles sky. He was pulled by the lift of the balloons, 33 cubic feet of helium in each one. He didn't level off at 100 foot or even 1,000 foot. After a rapid ascent, he stabilised at 16,000 feet. By this stage, his nerves had really affected him badly. He was terrified, and he was reluctant to use the air gun to get himself descending lower down. But it gets better. I wish I'd been in the conning tower when this was happening, because there's a flight coming in, and the TWA pilot spoke down to the control and said, "I've just passed a man in a deck chair at 16,000 feet. I jest not, this is true." And he eventually plucked up the courage, started to pop the balloons with a gun. And he didn't do that well because he wasn't only halfway through when he managed to drop the gun. But he did eventually come down in a place called Long Beach. He was arrested and he was fined later at $4,000 for his escapade. He had no idea, Larry, what's going to happen to him that day. He got a big surprise. And friends, you may get a surprise far worse than that unless you recognised Christ. The future may take you by surprise. We pray it won't take these young children to be baptised by surprise. There's a rather nice clock in Chester Cathedral, which I think picks up how we feel in relation to time. Because the older you get, the faster time seems to go. And time's going in one direction, the Bible says. It's going to be about meeting with Christ. And the poem on the clock in Chester Cathedral says this: "When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamt and talked, time walked. When I became a man, time ran. Later as I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, while travelling on, time gone." Are you ready, friends, for when time is gone in your lives? Well, 2 Peter 3 verse 1 has these words, and it's the most loving thing Peter did. He really cared about those Christians he was writing to. So he says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." He says, get your thinking right. Nothing is as important as thinking properly. And lots of our thinking is unwholesome. Alternatively, we find that it's in neutral our minds, or we're just plain wrong in what we think. We often suffer from a Christian amnesia about where history is heading. But how we think determines how we act. And you and I are called to wholesome thinking. Get our minds clear, Peter says. It's what the prophets prophesied about that day of the Lord. It's what the apostles talked about, and it's what Jesus himself spoke about. 2 Peter 3 verse 2. "I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles." Friends, my first comment this morning is that people forget. I was listening to Radio 4 some years ago, and I think it's probably Woman's Hour, which I don't normally listen to, but I was driving and had Radio 4 on, and there's a woman there talking about how she became pregnant. And she said, and really it's a bit paradoxical to put it this way, she said, "Oh, I deliberately forgot to take my contraceptive pill because my husband didn't want a child." It would be better if they talked about it together, wouldn't it? "But I deliberately forgot." And here Peter says something very similar. People deliberately forget where history is going. They forget, verse 5, the world was made by God. And the laws of nature are timeless whispers of God Almighty. Things have not always continued as you might have expected from creation. Verse 6, Peter writes this: by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. There was a flood happening in Noah's day. And you may say, surely not. Well, you go to Iraq, and that was the ancient cradle of civilization. There's absolute proof that there was a universal flood over the known world at that stage. And if you go to any cultures, even desert cultures, there is a residue belief about the world being flooded and destroyed. Noah's flood, God's word, has a proven history. And just as that was proven, so Peter goes on, verse 7, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. The future will come to pass, and some will find they've lived life totally the wrong direction. So, people forget. Don't be one of those people who forget. But second question, why the delay? Why the delay? Well, because of God's perspective. Verse 8, Peter writes this: but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. 2,000 years to the Lord Almighty is like a long weekend. Now, friends, we don't like waiting, do we? My younger son, Tom, who luckily isn't here today, otherwise he'd be embarrassed for me to mention this, but as a little boy, if we drove away from our house to go somewhere, on holiday, you had to go just 100 yards. A little voice in the back of a car would say, "Daddy, are we nearly there yet?" Not about another 3 hours, Tom, but I said, "Just trust me, I'm the driver. We'll get you there eventually." And actually, we need to realise that you and I, in a sense, are in the back seat, but there is somebody else who is in charge, and he is driving history. And that day will assuredly come. Why the delay? God's perspective, time is not the same for us as it is to him. And then it's because he's patient with us. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's not overslept. His patience is a lovely quality. He is long-suffering. That's a great thing for him to be. And that's rooted in the very character of God. Yes, verse 7, some will perish. But God's heart longs for people like you and I to come home to him. I wonder, is there perhaps somebody here who really is ignoring the gospel? You're not really taking it seriously. Well, can I remind you that time might run out on you today, either your death or Christ's return. This last week, we've had one person very suddenly die on the A4, who many of us knew, in a car crash. A 20-year-old died, whose funeral is happening here in 10 days' time. I wonder if that happened to us, were we ready to meet with the Lord? Yes, time might run out today. But wonderfully, the cross says you can come back. The Lord wants you to return to him. He's forgiven you, and his love and justice meet there. Yes, people forget. Why the delay? God's perspective and God's patience with us. But still, final point, the world scoffs. Verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the creation of the world. And yes, people we know, perhaps some here, we do scoff at the thought of history being wound up, of Christ's return. Can I remind you, if there's no judgment, evil is unpunished, and that's a terrible thought. Yes, there is an end to history. T.S. Eliot makes one of his characters use this sentence: birth, copulation, and death is all you get when you get down to brass tacks. Is that all you get? Friends, it's not. Christ came to this earth for you, he died for you, and one day he's going to return. History isn't a repetitive cycle. No, we need to live in the light of what is to come. Are we ready for where our true destiny should be lying? Larry Walters had a big surprise, and he escaped what could have been cataclysmic. But there's no escape from Christ. One day, every eye will see him, and he will see each of us as we are. Let's pray. Lord, these are challenging thoughts, and yet we want to ask you to give us right thinking, to think properly about the most important matters in life and eternity. And Lord, may we be ready that day when history ends and you are revealed. Amen.